You got that going?
Yeah.
Can I see the shot real quick? Yeah, that's good. All right. Yeah. Cool.
So do you have time off, or you just go straight to Mexico next?
Day before the show. We got there. We're used to play every day, so.
Fuck. It's a lot of work.
But that's probably the best job ever, so.
That's true.
Only idiot would complain. Yeah, you know, in my position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's awesome.
So what is art to you?
Huh?
What is art?
Pretty much any. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's human. It's one of human's creations. I don't know, man. I probably lack proper vocabulary to express myself in English. You know, I'm not even sure if I could do it in Polish, to be honest. I don't know.
It's a hard one to.
It's like, you know, with men, it. I just probably lack inspiration today to you know, talk about stuff like that. I don't know.
It's hard to explain art. It's like love or anything else.
It's exactly. Hard. It's some. It's probably definable, you know, but I just know that I'm dealing with art on an everyday basis, and the stuff that I create is I consider it art. But if you ask me, you just give me definition, and to be honest, I'm like, fuck definitions, you know. Let's just stop analyzing everything, or trying to put everything in words and definitions and labels, you know. I mean, to be honest, I'm like so bored with that kind of stuff, you know. Like, art is there in the street. Go out and see. You'll see your definition.
Yeah, I like street art. I like underground art. I always wonder about that, though. Sometimes I think underground art is a class thing. It's for poor people. And the minute you come from money or a family of wealth, you steal from street art. You take from poor people, and then you present it as a product. Not you, but in general, a lot of times you see that in the world of commerce. You know, and I always wonder, I struggle with the idea, is art something that's just like, I don't believe art's that special, to be honest with you. As a person who's been called an artist, I think all animals are artists. You know, birds, they have to make a nice nest to attract a girl who's going to say, hey, your nest is good looking and it doesn't leak.
But
the bird evolves.
But maybe we should, like, one of the things that would narrow our attempts to define it is that the one that is considered an artist should probably have awareness.
What?
Awareness, consciousness. You know?
Okay.
So I'm not sure if dog has a consciousness of being an artist, you know, have an awareness. It doesn't. Animals, no.
Sure. But I think they're different. I think the dog still has to create a nice hole to hide in when there's a storm.
Yeah, then we get to the point that everything is irrelevant, right? And
sure.
As many people, as many opinions on everything, pretty much, so. If you line up like 10 people here, you know, and ask for a definition of what art is, you're gonna probably get 10 different definitions.
Oh yeah.
So I mean
I've done it for probably 5 years now. I've been asking this almost same question to people. Some really great artists too. Mm-hmm. And everyone struggles to define what art is.
See, I didn't even struggle. That's
no.
Cool.
But for me, I always think it's animal. That's why the artist is held on a pedestal. Like you're held up. Great artists, like, as held up on this pedestal, but I think they're held up on a pedestal because they're free. You're free spirits.
Mm.
There's not too many left. There's not too many free spirits left. So I just wonder about that. I wonder if everyone's an artist. Not a good artist, but just a... I mean, you got to be creative to survive.
Ewan said that...
I think.
Someone said that the most perfect copy of Mona Lisa is not as... perfect as, you know, a child's, you know, crippled, you know, drawing, you know. And there's more art and more creativity in this primitive drawing of a, you know, a toddler than in a perfect copy of a Mona Lisa painting. And I somehow I like that, you know what I mean? I heard it like a few years ago. But,
Well, for me, you think, do you take heavy metal as a culture?
It's a subculture, it's a genre, it's a subgenre, it's, it can be a cult too, you know? We just been to Vancouver, and I don't know if you're familiar with Ross Bay cult. It's, you know, it's like a, I don't know how to call it, it's just a group of people, a small society of people that are... It all started with Blasphemy, one of the originators of, you know, black metal in '90s, beginning of '90s. So, and they're called Cult, and it's still around, you know, and still people who kind of follow the same traditions and ideals. And I don't know, I somehow find it very inspirational still. I mean, back in '90s, early '90s, I was very much influenced by them, and now we get to meet each other when eventually we play in Vancouver or they play in Berlin. I saw them last time in Berlin. So I'm like, yeah, it's a cult. So I don't know. Again, you know, definitions.
Maybe it's an American thing. I grew up and had no understand, you know, no culture, let's say. Metal was my culture. You know, in America, it's lost. We didn't have, like,
yeah,
I have Polish, I have Italian in me, you know.
But you know what? On one hand, that makes you like a no man's land, so to say. You know what I mean? And if people try to be mean to Americans, they say you have no background. You get, I mean, you are just, you know, they try to devaluate, you know, their, I don't know, meaning or whatever. But I actually think that it's very. What I find inspirational about America is that you've had this carte blanche, you know. You come from the old continent, and there's a land, you know, and just go ahead and, you know, go west and just be creative, you know what I mean, and build things and create things and destroy things and just go crazy. It's so much land and so much space and so much, you know, to do here. You know what I mean? So I'm in a position that I belong to the old continent, you know, and I know what my country's 1,000-year-old traditions are. But I don't really consider. I mean, obviously, you know, the whole globalism thing, you know, the McDonald's culture here and stuff, you know, I mock that officially, and I have no respect to that whatsoever. But that there's one thing that you see in the street. It's like the first thing you see in the street is a big fucking it's this plastic culture, but there is a deeper meaning there, you know. And there's people who are super creative, who actually go very much against that current, you know what I mean? That there's a lot of rebels in America, you know. And I dare to say that heavy metal is part of this tendency or a trend, or I don't know how to call it, but it actually encouraged people to rebel against the plastic culture. So there's a huge space, you know, to be fulfilled with something very creative and some intelligent substance, you know what I mean? Maybe art, but maybe some other stuff, I don't know. But so I have a lot of respect to America and the people I get to meet here. Well, we're talking about music, you know, so like every city we go and, you know, see other band members, you know, who come down to the show, hang out and stuff, and there's a lot of great music being made here, not only music, but also, you know, any forms of art, you know. I've just read this book on New York, how it was all created and stuff, and there was one chapter on Pollock, and I like that, and how it was described, you know, that when Museum of Modern Arts was created, you know, they realized, okay, they created a Museum of Modern Arts, you know, but there was, they realized that America had no had no like artistic background. I mean, there was no foundation there, you know. So they had to build that foundation. So artists like Pollock or Rothko were like among, you know, they were actually like really poor. They're just, you know, experimenting and just doing this. What it was called, the surreal, what it's called, you tell me.
Abstract.
Right? Abstract. Yeah. And eventually they became the, you know, top of the top artists worldwide known. And, like, you know, Pollock's, one of the Pollock's painting, it was probably one of the, you know, most expensive one ever. It was sold. So, yeah, I mean...
Yeah. Are you a Satanist?
What it means?
Are you a Satanist?
What it means? Give me the definition.
Of Satanism?
Yeah.
Oh. For me, you know, I don't know. You tell me what Satanism is. You're the guy with the album that says I'm a Satanist. Or, I mean, Satanist.
See?
Which I love it. I love everything. But I just wonder sometimes... Like, I talked to Jinx Dawson from... Coven. Remember that band Coven?
Yeah, they just reformed, right?
Yeah, well, I guess as best they can. What? As best they can.
Yes.
Whatever. But Jinx goes on and on to say most people who claim Satanism in entertainment are not Satanists. So I just wanted to know, you know, like, you know.
Well, apparently...
how do you define Satanism?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm being very... I mean... I pretty much, you know, I drift, you know, and but there is some core that I would say that is very strong here, and when it comes to the behemoth's ethics and my life's ethics, and this core is the fact that I've always felt associated with the outcast characters of our culture. Named Prometheus and Lucifer and Icarus and some more probably, and Satan too. So I come from a Western civilization where Christianity was super strong, is still super strong. So when I started my studies when I was a teenager, actually, I was pretty young when I got interested by these topics, and I was really fascinated by it. You know, I just realized, you know, that these characters are one of the most misunderstood characters in this Western civilizations. They are obviously, they became scapegoats, and I kept on looking for beauty and wisdom and power that's, you know, that's obviously there, you know, in their myths, in their stories, in their, you know, the values that they stand for. And that brought us to that place, you know, that we simply find Satan being one of the most inspirational and most underrated archetypes of the Western civilization. That's it.
It's hard to say you're a Satanist, though, isn't it? I mean, in public sometimes, because...
Well,
I mean, you yourself have gone through a lot of I'd imagine going through blasphemy trials as you were is not easy. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Obviously, I'm very much attached to this ideology. But then, on the other hand, I escape as much as I can. I escape from people trying to define me this or that, you know what I mean? To me, life is not that simple. Life is not black and white, you know. And if I'm Satanist, then I'm probably, like, there's, I hope, at least billion of other descriptions of, you know, of my identity and who I am. Because human being is just, like, multi-layered creature. And it's just so complex. And just, you know, putting this simple... stamps, you know, Satanist, anarchist, communist, like on politician.
Sure.
You know, it feels very limiting. So when question like that is being asked, I'm like, Yes, but
there's more to it.
There's way more to it.
Yeah, I get it. I have to say sometimes, like, we were run out of a town before for being friends with Anton LaVey, shit like that. Like, he made us, made me a priest in the Church of Satan, the last guy. So I've been harassed good about it. So it makes me stutter sometimes. But if someone, we just moved to a small town, the guy asked me, am I a Satanist? And I said, depends. Are you a Christian? And he goes, well, I'm not Christian. And I'm like, then I'm not a Satanist.
Yeah, it depends on the dialogue you have with the environment.
Right, I'm a Satanist to Christians, but I'm not to say I'm an atheist, and I border on agnostic at this point in my old age. I have to appreciate the question mark that we don't know. I have to appreciate. I don't know what happened.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I appreciate that, and I, you know, that's all.
I call it the religion of doubt.
Agnostic.
Yeah, I mean, I'm drawn by that very much so, just doubting, you know, and I just heard, read this book of Ruiz Zafón, that's what his name is, I guess, and there was this beautiful sentence, you know, someone asked one of the characters, are you a religious person, and he said, well, if doubt could be a religion, then I'm a very religious person. And I loved it a lot. So, but then again, I mean, things are so complex that I don't know. It's not only English but probably Polish is very crippling, very limiting. And trying to explain myself and trying to define things is like it's almost impossible. I don't know. I mean, like I keep on studying, but I'd rather. I use some meta languages to communicate with the environment than just trying to sit here and just putting labels on things or making up definitions and so on and so on. No, I'm like, you know what? Probably to most of questions, or like, I'm more and more like that, you know, like the more you ask, the more I'll be like, you know what? Just experience what I do on stage, read the lyrics. Just make up your mind, because I don't know.
Well, I think you answer, I think you come across great. Your language, you know, I think you come across very smart. That's why I wanted to talk to you. For me, I think sometimes, like, I've had the expression of, say, I've heard you, let's talk about me. No, I'm joking. Satanist, right? We're going to talk about me. Joking. But I've heard you talk about influence, like wanting to influence. And I can't quote you. But you said something about wanting to influence people.
Instead of influence, I'd rather replace the word with inspire. And that's, you know, because influence just, it kind of determines this kind of, I mean, influence means that you may try to indoctrinate people, you know what I mean? And we're no preachers here, you know what I mean? We're like, we are free thinkers. And I bet there's a lot of people that come down to Behemoth shows and they have no fucking clue what our philosophy is. But that's what I hope for. There is a very liberating spirit that dwells within our art. You know what I mean? And that can correspond on many layers with different people. So. And I really hope that this inspires people, you know what I mean? This music opens them up, you know? It's just, you know, there's some, you know, cathartic experience there when we perform. Or when people just, you know, deal with what we do. Yeah. That's
okay,
my wish.
Inspire. Is Christianity obsolete? Is it over? Is it dead?
I hope not.
Why?
I've always found Christianity being very inspirational to my work, to my life, and I don't know. I mean, I haven't said the last word yet, but it looks like, you know, that's the whole paradox of things. You know, that the Satan is probably the most Christian and Bible-inspired record that I've ever put out. You know, so on one hand, it's a catch-22. You know, it's like, well, we go on stage and we play Christians to the Lions, which is a very radical, there's a radical message there. But then on the other hand, I'm like, please don't take away one of the strongest inspirations there is, you know, from me, because what's next?
Well, I mean, I'm thrilled by the unknown, you know. So if there's no Christianity, I'm like, okay, I gotta dig deep in, you know, here, and just, you know, it's gonna, you know, I need to force myself to probably come up with something else. But I don't know, Christianity is something that was handed to me on a plate, you know, and I'm like, okay, today I'm gonna use this, I'm gonna mock that, I'm gonna fucking do some tweaks here and mix it with that and just mix it all together, stir it up, you know, and make my own thing. So I don't know, I've just always felt very much attracted by everything around, you know.
Yeah, without Christianity, there's no Satan. Without Satan, you know, they go sort of hand in hand.
Here you go. That's what you said before, you know, when you get to meet a person that, I mean, there's these conversations and there's these interactions, the personal, you know, interactions that you get with people that you sense that they are very simple-minded, and they are like very black and white, and you know that Satan is gonna be your best weapon, the best tool to if they want to confront you, and that's obvious. I mean, it happens to me every day. But then I get to meet people that are super intelligent, and they approach me, and I would never, and the word religion, or Satan, or God, or Ten Commandments, or whatever, never comes up in the discussion, because we can drift through, we can have like the most inspirational conversation ever without using this. These names, you know what I mean?
I agree, yeah.
And that's awesome, and that's what I used that word before, you know, the meta language, you know. You get to meet people and you communicate on a certain level that you can leave this all behind, you know. You don't need that means to communicate. You're just on a different level, and that's cool. That actually happens to me quite often too, you know. People don't come down and just try to fight me or challenge me or question me for my radical philosophy that I use in the band, but not only. But you know, remember when we talked earlier, you were like, well, Satan, yes, but there is more to it, obviously. And there's way more to it, you know. So I'd rather explore this, you know, and yeah.
Were you raised? How are you? What do your parents do?
What do you mean?
What do your parents do? Like, did they raise you? Do you have a good rapport with your parents? Are you friendly with them?
Yeah, nowadays.
Like,
nowadays,
a lot of metalheads come from broken homes, you know, yeah. It's just a...
No. I come from a very average, but pretty happy family, relatively. What's happiness then? But no, I mean, like, my dad is still with my mom, you know, for like over 40 years. So that's quite of a success, I would say, you know, considering the circumstances. And, you know,
are they Christians or anything like that?
Well, my father is a communist he just believes in the ideals, you know what I mean? He's not like, he doesn't practice it or whatever, you know what I mean? But he's quite disappointed probably with the world, with the way it goes. And he was raised in a communist system, and that's what he's always said, that communism gave him everything he had in life, you know, like flat and a car, education, family. It's you know, he was raised in that system, you know, and he's got just different views on that. And but he's not like, you know, active whatsoever, you know. He's just got his ideals, you know. He's gonna probably take it all to the grave. My mother is pretty, I mean, they're pretty, when it comes to religion, they're pretty neutral, you know. I mean, there's always been a cross like in the living room, but I've always felt that there's no meaning behind it, really. I mean, I don't really think that there was much spiritual thing going on in my family. Like most of, well, most, I'm guessing here, but that's my impression, that's my observation. And a lot of families in Poland, they just, they're, you know, like pretending being Christian or Catholic, you know what I mean? There's this traditional ballast, you know, that they just carry. And it's just, it looks good, you know, if you're Christian or Catholic, you know, and just eventually you go to the church once a year sometimes, you know. But are they really? I don't think so, you know.
Why do you say it looks good if they are...
Well, it's like, you know, I mean, people tend to do what society want them to do, you know what I mean? And there's like some kind of scheme, some kind of formula, Christian, like Catholic family formula, you know what I mean? Like, it's still said, I mean, like in statistics, I don't know, I'm guessing, but it's, I mean, Poland has always been like 95% Catholics, you know? I fucking doubt that, you know, but I think that it still says that. You know what I mean? So that's a, like, it's probably as many churches as pharmacies in Poland, you know, like every corner there's a church. But they're getting more and more empty. That's how I see that, you know, and like teenagers, they hardly give a single fuck, you know, and people of my age, you know, they're like, they've been questioning things, you know, and like the system also made them. Because in the communist regime, you know, church was something that would, you know, the whole solidarity movement and stuff, you know, the church was a very important part of it, you know. So church was actually, you know, was raising the flag of, you know, of liberation and freedom because, you know, yeah, obviously it would stand in opposition to communism, right? They've always been enemies. But since there's no communism, there's like we've been a democratic country for like 25 years now or so. People don't need church as, you know, don't need it. I mean, they used to use church and religion as a weapon against the regime. They don't need to do that anymore. And the borders are open now. You can travel all across the globe, you know. You're free to go anywhere you want. And you know what I mean? It's like the country itself went through such dynamic transformations that it's... Yeah, I mean... It's really exciting to observe that, you know, to watch it happening, you know. It's an inspirational place, you know, but still there's a lot of contrast there too, you know.
Like Valencia.
Yeah.
So that's what, you know, that's what I was talking about earlier, like, is Christianity dead? I see religion as being dead, period, and sometimes I think, I've been thinking, like, I really have loved your videos and stuff you're doing. Like, this is radical, ripping up Bibles, I think it's great. But then I started thinking lately, we're just you know, Satanists that are acting out like that are just keeping Christianity alive because they get to fight, they got something to fight back. So the more horde we get, the bigger their horde gets, and it just continues. And it's like, I think the top Satanists are the guys who are planting trees and just, you know, inspiring through. Like, you have a video I saw, and you're jogging, and you're basically saying, you're fat, you're a loser, whatever. I'm like, you know, I'm a well-tuned piece of meat on this. In the operating, you know, so if anything else, you're sick in the mind. And so that's like, I've been bothered by it all day. So I think about it, I'm like, well, maybe that's the top of the Satanist food chain, though. Not to talk about religion, but to talk about how to live your life in just doing it, like you're running, and you're like, I'm almost crediting your health for beating a disease.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be, it's more... It's human, what is called, fucking shit, can't even pronounce that. It doesn't need to attach, you know, any, like...
Humanity? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you don't need to attach, like, religious terms to it, you know, and I mean, it's all about who we are, you know, how we want to be, where we're going, what we want to achieve, I don't know, man.
Yeah. I don't know either. That's the best answer sometimes, is I don't know. Not too many people can say I don't know.
You know what? I'd rather than talk, I'd rather do, you know. And if you ask me if I'm a happy person, yes, I'm relatively happy because I stopped overanalyzing and over just I started living a healthy life, you know. Not healthy in a way that I, you know, don't drink alcohol, because occasionally I do. And I do some other bad things too, occasionally, if I feel like, you know. But I'm just living my life the way I want, you know, and I'm being responsible. And it's a very willful and an intelligent life, I hope, you know.
And that's what I think defines a Satanist, and the goal of having fun and doing the, you know, getting the most out of life. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's your opinion. I respect that.
Yeah, Amy, what do you think? Anything?
So do you think had Poland stayed communist, would your music be different?
Again?
If Poland would not have become democratic, like, it seems like you're saying... Oh. Christianity was like rebellion to communism.
Yeah, I mean, this is rebellious music, you know. I mean, you gotta rebel against something. Well, if Poland is still communistic now, I remember this all like rock bands that were born during the communist regime. Like, most of them would just go for these fight songs, you know, and there was always like deeper meaning, you know, because there was a censorship, you know, so they should, you know, they were trying their best to fool censors so they could, you know, spread this, you know, deep hidden message, you know, to encourage people to fight against the regime. I would hate seeing myself being one of these rock artists, you know what I mean, that sings about, you know, something, you know, and trying to put like a deeper meaning behind it, you know, so like, you know, so that would correspond with people and trying to, I don't know, to release their, you know, fighting spirit or whatever. Like, I don't know. I'm so far from politics, you know, and I know shit about it. I know some history, obviously, but I don't know. No. I hate, you know, like, you know, thinking what if. It is what it is. You know what I mean? It is what it is, simply.
Are interviews your worst part of your gig?
Huh?
Are interviews the worst part of your gig?
Depends. I'm a talker, you know. I like talking, you know, but I do it less and less. I'd rather express myself in, you know, without words. Or a word, like... Words are accompanied with music, and you know what I mean. It's like I've just been reading this book on Zdzisław Beksiński, which is one of the most famous Polish painters, and it's a great book. It's a biography. The guy was killed like 10 years ago or something, and. And when, you know, he was always every time he was so annoyed when people would ask him, okay, what you try to express through your paintings? And it's like, he felt speechless about it. It's like, why are you asking me about it? You know, it's already there. Here's an answer. And I remember I was reading it like 2 weeks ago, and I was like, bingo, this is it, you know. This is me. Again, you know, we come back to this definition. What's definition? To define my artistic spirit. Fucking damn it, you know what I mean? I was like, I don't even know how to bite it, you know, from which side, you know, how to put it all together. I just don't know it, you know. But I know how to do it. I mean, like, how to express it, you know, without words. Just on a carnal and spiritual level, you know, without using words. Because I just feel very limited by this, you know what I mean? So I'm pretty much becoming more and more like him, you know. It's like, this is it, here's my piece, here's my record, you know, here's my show. Just enjoy it as much as you can. And if you don't, you know, I don't care, you know, but this is it.
I know it's, I mean, like, it brings us to the point that, like, one day I'd be like, okay, guys, nuclear blast, metal blade. I think I've said everything, you know. Here's my new record, you know, promote it.
Yeah, the best part about being an artist is making artwork, not presenting the artwork, I sometimes think, like putting in the gallery, telling people what it means or what, yeah. It's the worst part of the job. But making, it's fun. Like, I feel like a kid when I make artwork. I feel just animal or like a child. It's euphoric.
Yeah, you know what? I just learned to really enjoy myself while performing more than ever. Somehow I got to this point where life is not, to me, life is not about what was in the past and what's coming tomorrow. It's about what's happening today. So this here and now philosophy I brought to the stage and where I perform, when I'm in the studio, where I'm whatever, you know what I mean, dealing with art. And this is it. This is crucial to me when it comes to you know, to what Behemoth means to me. I'm on stage and I'm into the music. I'm there. It's all about the interaction, the energy that's there, that's fucking undeniable. And it's this very moment where I enter the stage, and every single second that I'm there, I'm enjoying myself. I've learned to enjoy myself to the maximum, squeezing like everything out of it. And then I'm done after the show. That's it. There's no need to talk even after the show. Like, the guys always love to, you know, analyze everything. Yeah, the snare was too loud. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like, you know, it makes me think of, you know, the of couple, you know, having a great sex, you know. Do they, I mean, I'm trying to think of my, like, last time I was having a great sex. And I don't remember, you know, like, after, you know, having sex, you know, analyzing it for another hour and just talking about details. I don't know, it must be I don't know, it feels weird, you know, if people talk about it afterwards, you know what I mean? It's done, it's been great, that's it, you know, I love you or I don't love you, but I love to fuck you, whatever, that's it, you know, let's have a cigarette and smoke, or have a drink and fucking maybe just do nothing, let's not talk, you know, let's breathe in, breathe out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but with sex, you're not presenting it to the world as a cultural artifact.
Some do.
Some do. Did you get that porno I dropped off? I gave you a porno.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I did. I got it. But see, so I think sometimes, like, what's attracting me to metal, heavy metal? What's attracting me to ask questions sometimes? But my curiosity. But metal, I think, is, like, almost spiritual without being a, like, an atheist perspective. Like, I think something in the music attracts this clan that was broken apart through maybe the Christian Crusades or some other way, just like, you know, the earth cracking apart or some shit, and we just sort of get attracted again because it feels like, you know, brothers, you know, it feels deeper than entertainment to me sometimes. You know, sometimes something resonates and it's beyond my politics or anything like that. It's like, you know, it's like a channeling thing or something. It's like
true.
The music. It's
yeah,
like,
I got that. I got that. I totally got that. I mean, well, I bet that, like, at least half of the kids today, you know, that came down to the show, they're just here for, you know, pure entertainment, you know. They're just gonna get swept. They're just gonna fucking kick someone's ass and, I don't know, maybe buy a shirt, you know. Entertainment. But I really hope that, at least, I don't know, at least few of them, you know, are here to channel some of that energy and just bring something, valuable back home, something they can relate to, something substantial, something meaningful, and something that's gonna stay with them, hopefully forever. I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, wishing myself this.
Well, I'm
being just naive. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think that's why people take heavy metal so seriously. I think there's a lot of people who live and die for it's a cultural thing. It's deep.
It can be.
I mean, people get behemoth tattoos all the time.
Yeah, that's
deep. That's skin deep.
Yeah, it's like for life, and it's all. I mean, every time you see that, it's been happening for years now. And every time I see that, it's touching. It's really touching. It's like, poof, wow. You know, someone sealed his body with our sigil or our the Phoenix logo or whatever. I'm like, wow. What they do, like, lately, they asked me to
sign.
To sign their bodies, you know. 2 days ago, the guy said, hey, can you just write verse of Fire in the Void on my arm? Yeah, I can do it. Why? Because I wanted to do it. And then I did that, and it wasn't my best handwriting, but he was like, yeah, thank you so much, you've been such an inspiration. And I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? It makes me think. You know, it's like, it's these moments, the connection with fans we have on this tour, like every day we do this meet and greet thing, you know, it makes me think that, you know, how important we are to these people, you know. In the Facebook era, you're like, you know, you got all these friends and millions of likes and shit, you know, but you don't feel, there's no distance. I mean, it's a massive distance, right? Because it's all virtual. So when you get to meet these people in person and see in their eyes, you know, and you can guess that they lie or not, you know, that if they are serious or not. And I'm like, wow, something serious going on here. So yeah, I mean, there's some people that are here for the right reasons, I'd say.
I guess you got any questions? You know, I got you have any favorite occult studies like LeVay or Crowley or anything like that? Have you ever read the Satanic Bible?
Of course. I remember I got a print of it. It was a very poor translation of it. That was just, you know, type, you know, and it was Xerox, yeah, what's it called? Yeah, someone made a copy of it, you know, and it was like, it was circulating in the beginning of 90s in Poland, and I remember my father, I was like 14 and 15 when I was reading it, you know, and my father would find it on my desk, and he would just take it. You know, for a month or something. You know, probably he wanted to read it. You know, then he read it and he gave it back without a word, without no word of comment, nothing. Well, that's it. That's it. Okay. I was 15, so he probably felt very responsible for you know, for my education. But then, you know, like nowadays, I'm like 37, and I'm still pretty much faithful to my, you know. How to call it, you know, rebel spirits whatsoever. And he's like, well, you see, his son is a relatively happy man and quite successful too, so he's a little, or like, you know, cool with that. They don't question it anymore. They don't fucking, you know, argue with that. They're like, well, they put so much trust in me, and they're like, yeah, he knows what he's doing, go ahead, you know what I mean? So it's that's important. So yeah, I read that, but I do read it. I mean, LaVey, it seems like a teenage kind of affair. So it's nothing really. I mean, it's not very serious to me these days. But
it's a starting point.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a spark, you know. It's a catalyst, you know. It's like, because it's so. It's very attractive, you know. It's like it's very black and white. It's like when you're 15, like I was. It's very rebellious. It's very black and white. It's very captivating, you know. The whole symbolism around it, you know, the appreciation to the flesh, to carnal, to carnals, and that's something that I was like really looking forward to, you know. There wasn't much spirituality that I found there, but as I said. That was probably not something that I was looking for back then, but it was a spark, it was a catalyst probably, so I got some knowledge on that, you know, and some, I read some of that stuff.
Okay,
did you philosophically start to change? Were you angrier and or did you start to change when you had your cancer and when you had your scare? Like, that's a looking at death, I guess. You know, it seems like a scary situation to me.
I hope that I changed. I tend to say that I change every day. I transform every day. So obviously, you know, when you face near death experiences, you do change. How? I don't know. I really hope that I got more aware of life, of who I am, of where I'm going, or yeah.
So before that, were you a hardcore Satanist or a hardcore person, like really hardcore, and then, because you know, and then you change?
It's not that simple, man. It's not like the concert happens, you know, and then you change. No. I don't know. I just transform every day, you know. 37 years of transformation. I die and I'm reborn every day. And I refuse to define how. You know what I mean?
Sure. I just think about me. That's how I come up with questions, I guess. I had to go through a lot of suffering to change my hardcore ways and even to open up my thinking. I was pretty set in thinking I was absolutely right. Might is right. You know, stuff like that. I was on this path. Then you have deep suffering, and it starts to make you think about things. Suffering helps evolve the mind, I think, a lot of times.
True.
And so that's what I'm asking. Like, just the deep suffering makes you think deep, I think, you know.
Yeah, of course, you know, but... let's put it this way, because I wrote this book about, I probably explain the situation in the book, you know, it's like 400 pages long, it's like a long interview. It's called Sacrum Profanum. It was out in Poland, it'll be out in US next year.
Great.
So partly I explained that, you know, but an interview is probably, it's not the best place to, you know, to explain that, you know. Maybe one day I'm going to write a book on, you know, on all of this, you know, but here, what can I say?
Yeah, you can write a book and just hand it out to people when they want to interview you. It's all here.
Yeah.
So let's just stop talking.
400 pages long interview. Just divide it in, you know, in fucking 100 interviews and you got like all the magazines covered.
Yeah, right. Well, I appreciate your time.
Cheers, man.
Do you have any more questions?
Well, I
just ask real quick.
No,
just,
I don't have any.
Okay. Right on.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll end your misery. You're right now is right the suffering. You're evolving right now. The suffering of the interview.
No, I'm actually very mellow today because I had a hardcore training and the weather just puts me in a very mellow.